Welcome to the Working Hands Podcast. I'm Tony of Woodland Iron, joined by Keith of Blackthorn Concepts, and tonight we have a special guest, David of D. Miller Designs. What's going on, man?
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good. We're going to start the episode off like always, thanking our sponsors. I'll take the time to thank Sabretooth. If you go to sabretooth.com and use code WH, you could save 10% on all of your carving burrs, discs, and all your carving needs. I use them. You should, too.
And I'll take a minute to thank our sponsor, Maritime Knife Supply, your one-stop shop for makers, your home for abrasives, steel, tools, and more. Save on shipping by getting everything from one supplier. You can find them at maritimeknifesupply.com and .ca.
And if you go to Chapman Manufacturing, you can pick yourself up a phenomenal set of screwdrivers. Chapman Manufacturing, made proudly right here in the U.S. of A. I have a set that they graciously provided, and they are awesome. I find myself reaching for that over anything else. If you use code WORKINGHANDS, you could save 15% on your order. Dave, what is going on?
Not much. I'm excited to be here with both of you. I'm a big fan of this podcast, and I appreciate the invite.
All right, now the lies are done.
Yep.
That's
what they paid me to say. So what is this thing all about anyways?
No, it's good to have you. I heard you guys had a little earthquake out there.
Yeah. You know, Southern California is always known for rocking and rolling. So we had, I think it was like a 5.0 or something the other day. Just another day of California weather and nice craziness.
I don't think that's weather.
Yeah.
I don't think that's weather.
It's craziness.
I think in the time, well, I've lived in the same spot for 20 some years, and I think we've had two earthquakes, and it both times felt like, I don't know, it was almost like, I think, just like a big explosion, like a little rumble, and then that was it.
Yeah.
Like I think they were twos, maybe threes, but they weren't.
Yeah, notice those.
Yeah. See, here, that's like everything's still and quiet, and then all of a sudden, like, birds are flying, deer are running.
I've only been in one that I actually felt and remember, and I just happened to be standing in a doorway. I went to go see the boss, and I was standing in a doorway, and it kind of like rocked me a little bit, and I thought I was just getting lightheaded from not eating or something, so I kind of leaned on the door.
Blood sugar?
Yeah. And my boss looked at me, and he's like, "What was that?" I was like, "What? I feel lightheaded." He's like, "Me too." He was in a chair.
God.
And then about 10 minutes later, we realized that was an earthquake. But yeah. Nothing fancy.
You get used to them. I mean, you usually can hear them coming, so you just kind of get ready for it, and then you just never know when it's going to stop, so you just kind of roll with it.
You can hear it coming?
Yeah, there's usually a rumble coming a few seconds before, and then you get a couple good shakes, and then depending on the type of the earthquake, it's either a rolling or just a shaking one, and they can last. Some last just a few seconds. Some can go for, 10, 20 seconds.
Wow. Crazy.
It is.
Well, be safe out there.
I'm trying. I immediately called Ben from Condorosa Creations and made sure he was safe.
You got to make sure Ben is okay.
Yeah, that's my priority.
Yeah. Don't check in on the wife and kids. Just go straight to Ben.
We were all on the couch. Even the dog didn't even care. He just kind of rolled over, so it was all good.
That's funny. I wonder if the dog knew it was coming before you heard the rumble.
He probably did. Again, he's a sheep-a-doodle. He's so lazy. It would take a lot for him to care.
Did you say a sheep-a-doodle?
Yeah, I caught that too.
He's a sheep-a-doodle. He's my best friend in the whole world.
What? I got to Google this. I've never heard of a sheep-a-doodle.
He is half Old English sheepdog, half poodle, which means he looks like a sheepdog, but he doesn't shed, and he's very smart.
It's a cute-looking dog if you like the long-haired dogs.
My best friend in the whole world.
Was he black and white like these?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he turned gray and white now, but yeah.
Yeah, I got a best friend here too, named Watson.
There you go.
The good doctor that he is. So you are the CNC master. That's why we have you on.
Is that what I am?
Oh, yeah, the CNC master. Right? You're always working on the CNC. It's running
nonstop.
Yeah,
it's a priority over here.
It's a priority.
I had to turn it off just for this podcast. So
yeah, it was too
really
loud.
Cutting into my production time right now.
Yeah. So we'll get you in and out pretty quick. Have you used it yet or no?
Yeah. I got the spoil board flat, and then it sat since there. So All right. Truth be told, I am not a CNC master. I don't really understand why I have it. I kind of got it when it was before when everybody was getting the Onefinities and Shapoko was the one to get. And I had a friend who had bought it and he never used it for like 6 months. And then he was moving. So I kind of inherited it with the plan to use it. I got it all set up. Realized that I really wasn't too great with the software. And at the same time, I was making a bunch of cutting boards and I needed a place to, for them to like dry. So I turned my CNC into a really good like drying station. And it's really stuck since then.
Yeah. Mine, I have one too. And it ruined enough projects for me that I just kind of, it is now a shelf.
I watch enough of my friends use their CNCs and it just looks like a headache. To be honest with you. So, and again, I've never claimed to be a very smart person and I'm sure there are ways to use it where you don't have those mistakes. I don't feel like I would be the one to figure that out. And so right now it's here, it's taking up pretty valuable space in a very small shop. So I would anticipate it's probably going to be gone in the next 6 to 8 weeks.
That's a shame.
It is a shame. It's a crying shame.
Or it's a good thing.
On the flip side, I do enjoy using lasers, and lasers seem to be a lot more user-friendly, depending on the laser. And the program Lightburn seems to be something that I can understand, and so I've gravitated more towards that, and it's worked out for me.
Yeah, I have to do a Lightburn course because I am I can do a lot with it, but I can't do everything I want to do in it. And like,
right.
Well, I'm sure it can do what I want it to do. I just don't know what the commands are in Lightburn to make it act the way I want it to act.
Right.
As far as like if somebody gives me a file, like cleaning it up because it's all like overlaid on top. Like the way graphic design in these programs is, it doesn't make sense to me as a drafter. Like I can't just trim it. I can't just fill it and hatch it. Like I'm struggling with it.
Right.
As far as getting that to operate one of my lasers, that works fine.
Right. But I mean,
drawing in it and modifying in it.
I started probably, I think my first laser was right around 2020. It was like the original Ortor 2-watt, like janky laser, but I loved it. And I learned how to use Lightburn in it. At that time, it's what was out there. It's probably one of the more powerful ones you can get. At 2 watts or 2.5 watts. And once I kind of figured out that program and you learn it once, it doesn't really matter what laser you get after that. It just, the only difference is that that laser is more powerful, right? It's going to do whatever you want it to do faster than watching your 2.5 watt laser car or engrave a 3-inch logo in 6 hours or something, because that's how long it used to take. It just was so sad. And to do it now with these lasers and it does it in, you know, seconds, pretty impressive.
What lasers are you using now?
My main lasers are, I have the Omtec 80-watt CO2 autofocus.
Oh, that's nice.
Really enjoy that laser, especially coming from the land of diodes. And then my second newest one would be the fiber laser from Omtec, the 60-watt MOPA.
Yeah.
I have a 20-watt X-Tool D1 Pro, which is a diode laser. I put it on some hinges so it folds up and down off the wall, and it hasn't really folded up in a while because I haven't really had a lot of use for it. And then I have some portable lasers. So I have the X-Tool F1, which is a portable. It's a dual laser, so it'll do wood and metal.
It's an IR laser, right?
Yeah. Yeah. It's very nice. And then I have the Laser Pecker 2, which is a portable laser that'll do wood. And then I just got in the mail, I think Thursday last week, the Laser Pecker 4, which is the equivalent of the X-Tool F1, which is basically still a dual laser that'll do multifunction.
That's awesome.
They're
What's
really
your favorite
cool.
one, the CO2?
Ease of use, CO2, the one I'm most excited about, the fiber. But the fiber is like, the fiber I have found is like that ex-girlfriend that you just can't shake. Like, I know it's bad. I know that when I go over there, whatever I'm going to work on, it'll work once. And that second time, it won't work the same. I know it's going to be a problem, but I just keep going back because I want to figure it out.
on the fiber laser.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Especially with colors, right? That's where it just, it seems to be this black hole of mystery where I can run a program on it and it comes out blue, and then I can run that same program on that same piece of metal and it comes out black. I just don't get it.
Yeah, that's the problem I'm running into with mine.
Right.
And I think a lot of it is focus, right? So you can't change your focus or anything. But what's happening is I'm running those test grids in Lightburn, the material test.
Yeah.
And I can get beautiful colors across the test grid. But what's happening is it's warping the stock.
The stock, yeah.
So one, I'm just using those stainless steel business cards that you can buy, like 100 for like $30 or whatever.
Right.
But it warps them as it goes across. And I'm only doing a grid of 5x5, and it'll warp it before it gets to the end. So I think you need a thicker piece or something. I don't know.
Yeah. No, so by trade, I'm a union electrician. And so I'll go to our shop and we'll just have a ton of stainless steel plates laying around, right? From leftover from job sites or whatever. So I will use those quite a bit as like testing material. And even then, again, those really should be pretty similar, and I'm still getting different results.
Yeah. I don't know. It's like a mythical creature. It can do it, but can I make it do it?
Yeah. But the CO2 is just a machine. It's a workhorse. It gets it done right every single time. It does so many different materials so quickly. Like last night, my daughter came outside and she's like, "Hey, my little friend wants, I made some Stanley tags, like the Stanley cups that everybody walks around with."
Yeah.
There's like the new thing is like accessories for these cups now. So people make these like acrylic tags to go on the top of the cup, and the straw goes through it, and then you can then engrave with like a piece of acrylic or something someone's name, star bonded together, and then they have like a custom name tag for their cup. So I made my daughter's these a couple weeks back. Her little friend saw it, so she wanted it last night, and you know, it took me all of 3 minutes to put this thing together and hand it over to her, so it was pretty cool.
So what you're saying is that the Stanley cup is the crock of the drinkware?
Yeah, you can have accessories for them, yes. Yeah.
Like a crock.
Like a crock, yeah. Mm. Yep. That's a new thing people are 3D printing, our new accessories for their crocks.
Yeah.
Man, anytime I hear someone say accessories, all I think is Hank Hill.
For propane?
Propane
accessories.
There you go.
Where's Joey's voice when you need him?
Yeah, exactly. You need that Texas drawl.
Yeah. It's crazy with the CO2 also, because again, there's so much power behind it. Where, you know, you can cut through 3/4-inch walnut on one pass, whatever. That's pretty impressive. But at the same time, I have a friend here who does these things called paint and sips. And what those are like parties that he'll throw where there's like liquor there, like, you know, like drinks available, but also he'll have these canvases that people can paint, right? And so it'll be like a night out for the girls or whatever, and they'll go paint all these things. Well, prior to me getting with him, he was having to hand paint all of the outlines on these canvases and then hand them over to these people so they could paint them. Well, he came over and he brought one. And with that CO2 laser, I was able to, at 3% power, I was able to engrave the outline for all of his painting canvases on the canvas. You know, and it took like 10 seconds or something. So it was pretty impressive that you can engrave on something like that, or you can cut through wood.
Yeah, that's pretty wild.
Yeah.
I think that's my next go-to is a CO2 laser.
Yeah. Well, if you do, you know, D-Miller 5 is the way to go.
Yeah. I wish I had known that before I bought my fiber.
I don't think I had, or maybe you I didn't. Did. I don't know. I've had that code now for a few months.
Yeah. I don't know if I knew who you were when I bought it, though.
I doubt it. I don't think you did.
Yeah. But yeah, I love the fiber laser. I'm burning everything.
Yeah.
If it's not organic, I'm putting it under there and lighting it on fire.
Yeah. That's why I'm excited about these portable lasers that act as fibers, because you can literally just walk around, and they come with power supplies. So you can walk around and just engrave things on a wall. I did a reel where I engraved my logo on a wall, and it went crazy because people just couldn't fathom the fact you could walk around and just engrave things.
Yeah. It's crazy. It's like the future is here.
Yeah. Most of the comments I got on that video were, can you tattoo with it?
Yeah. There's a video, I think, on YouTube of a guy who tried to tattoo himself with a laser.
Yeah.
It does not go well.
I would imagine it wouldn't.
I know a couple of people that have run their hand underneath a fiber laser, you know, because you don't see it. And they went, reached across, and it zaps them pretty good. But I hear a UV laser is the one you definitely don't want to get under.
I bet.
One bites pretty hard. Have you done any hard plastics on your fiber laser?
No. No, I do any plastic stuff I'll still use the CO2 for.
Yeah.
I haven't ventured much other than into metal, brass, things like that with the fiber right now.
I saw today in one of the groups that I'm in, somebody has figured out how to do color on brass.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Which it comes out and it's vibrant when they do it. But then a couple of the comments in this group were, there's no way that'll stay because brass will oxidize and stuff. So the color goes away pretty quick.
Right.
But it's still impressive to see that you can dial it in to get color on brass.
Yeah. We just bought a fiber laser at my work also because we mark a lot of our tooling, and a lot of the tools that we have are marked with brass tags. So I figured that'd be a good time to use my discount code and buy a fiber laser for my job. So that worked out great.
Which one did you get for your... with the work?
I just got the 60 watt regular. I didn't get MOPA because wasn't going to be anything we were ever going to be shooting for on that type of stuff.
Yeah. I mean, apparently a MOPA has more uses than just color, but I really haven't seen a good argument for a MOPA other than color. So unless you want to do color, it's not worth the added expense.
Right. Yeah. Which definitely there's an added expense. Those fiber lasers for the workspace that you have are pretty expensive.
Yeah. I think it's like 6 inches by 6 inches on mine.
Yeah, mine's 6.9 by 6.9.
Yeah, that's what mine is. But that depends on the lens you put on too. Like you can increase it with a longer lens, but you're losing some efficiency there.
Yeah, I got a lot of figuring out to do still with that thing.
Yeah. I don't know if you saw, I was able to cut silver with it.
Yeah, I saw that. That was cool.
Yeah. Which is why I bought it. So that's good. It can actually
do. Did you break out the rotary yet?
No, still in the box. Haven't even broken the tape.
One of the things with that rotary is that you're going to have to understand steps per minute on it. And the only way to figure it out is to actually open the tower on your fiber laser and see where all your dips are. There had to be a better way, but that's how they set it up. So just keep that in mind that you will eventually have to take apart that tower to understand the steps per rotation.
Really?
Yeah. I just did that yesterday.
Prepare for a call on that one.
Okay. Gotcha. Paired.
Yeah. Opening up a fiber laser tower is not really my forte. So.
Yeah.
Wind up.
Luckily, my years of being an electrician helped me understand exactly what to do.
Yeah. Yeah. I that makes me nervous actually. Yeah, I haven't even opened it up. I don't know if I got that little one that you got originally or if I bought a bigger one or what.
Well, for what you want it for, you definitely want the one that I had originally, right? Because you want to do more like rings and stuff like that. So you need that one for sure.
Yeah, that's why I'm hoping that's the one I got, but I haven't opened it yet.
Yeah.
Because I know once I set it up on my fiber laser, then I'm going to go down a rabbit hole looking for round things to... do.
Just anything, just throw it on there. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm still trying to learn everything about it at this point.
Right.
So, yeah. I've been trying to do the laser everything Galvo course. Have you tried that yet?
I've watched a lot of the videos.
Yeah. I'm going to try and run through the whole Galvo course in the next couple of
weeks. Those are very, very good videos.
Yes. Yeah.
I like it a lot.
Yeah. Those guys are great over there.
I need videos that explain things in a simple form, and those do.
Yeah, they break it down into like 10-minute, 15-minute videos, but you learn that one thing.
Right.
And they go over why that one thing needs to be learned and all that. So it's a real good way to learn, I think.
Absolutely.
But I don't have anything else to compare it to, so.
Right. Yeah, I just compare that to, like, the laser pecker. So along with a fiber laser for my job, I also bought the laser pecker 4 for my job because we do a lot of prisons. And at these prisons, we have to engrave nameplates and different stuff of like junction boxes, and we can't necessarily take things out of like general population. So a lot of what we do, we have to go into where, not so much where cells are, but where there's like active people. So we have to take things, like tools, in with us. So we use a laser pecker to engrave on site, like on walls, and that works out pretty good. That's the only
And it's not a work release program that you're only out.
No, these are real prisons. Like, there's bad people in these things.
Sure, sure. It's not where you spend
interesting
most of your time, and you just get out on a work release. You sure?
Yeah. No. Okay. Yeah. Right.
Just checking.
Now, there's a lot of waivers you have to sign to go in any of those.
I can only imagine. You ever get nervous in them?
No.
I'm
pretty jaded. I've been doing this for so long, I don't really pay attention. And I was explaining this to Ben the other day. My day job I'm an electrician, but I'm the vice president of the company. So I run the field, I run purchasing, I do a lot of different things. And my day to day is very it's stressful, but it's very in your face. There's a lot of arguments every day. There's a lot of confrontation every day. So to be honest, any situation I get put in, if it's a prison or not, it's just another day of what I deal with.
Right. Yeah, I could see that.
Yeah. So when I get home, I come out here, I talk to friends, it really helps me kind of equalize and mellow out from the craziness of my leaving here at 4 a.m. and getting home at 5 p.m.
Yeah, it sounds awful.
Everyone's different.
Yeah, it's the same as my job, though. I hate it. Nothing, Tony? Nothing?
No. I work shift work, so I get lots of time off. So it's what it is. It's nice.
So do you want like a 3 days on, 4 days off thing, or how does yours work?
It's a 28-day cycle. I work 3 different shifts. And it works out to 14 days on, 14 days off. But it's broken up into like a 2 days, 2 nights, 2 days, 3 nights, and 3 days, 2 nights. Those are the 3 shifts that I work.
So it's like a firefighter, similar to what firefighters, yeah.
Yeah. I think the shift, if you're in the shift work, I guess this is the one they call a continental twist. Because I'm always swinging from days to nights. And I always start on days and end on nights. So,
and you just change shifts, right? Didn't you just get onto a new shift or something?
Yeah. So the plant has 4 shifts. I was on, I guess, the 4th shift. We just have them labeled by letter. So I was on D shift, and now I just moved to C shift. So just for a different opportunity. So it'll be, which starts hopefully in March.
Okay. Well, good luck.
Yeah, it'll be good. I'm going back to a job that I was doing, so pre-COVID kind of thing. So it'll be good. A little more challenge in my day-to-day work. So I was getting kind of bored or stale in what I was doing. It just wasn't something I was really all that interested in. So it's kind of tough.
I get it. It's funny you mentioned pre-COVID, and every time I think of COVID, and you guys had kind of touched on this before we went live, was that whole Clubhouse scene. And I remember when Clubhouse first started, and I remember getting on, I was out here on crazy hours of the night, right? And
yeah,
Clubhouse was just like, it never ended. And I would get on it and I would talk to people and it was fun. And then I actually just kind of forgot about it. And just recently I was talking to someone and they said they were on Clubhouse, and I was blown away. I'm like, Clubhouse is still a thing? And they're like, oh,
it's
yeah.
It's still a thing, yeah.
A ton of people still on it. And I was like, what? It's crazy.
Yeah. Back at the start of it, there was like so many people. You'd be in a room with like 50, 60 people.
Yeah.
At once. And it was kind of crazy and hectic. Now it's like there's people on it pretty much all day still.
Yeah.
But like rooms come and go. And like you could pop into a room and like 3 or 4 people show up. The most we had in one room recently that I was in was like maybe 20 at once.
Right.
And that's a lot. And that didn't last too long. But normally this is about 10 people. Yeah.
Yeah, I did not. I remember Nate from Warner Designs is the one. Because I think you had to be invited to it or something, right? Was that the one originally, where someone had to like invite you or something? And I remember he messaged me. He's like, hey, I'm going to send you this invite to this thing called Clubhouse. You got to check it out. And I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
It was very early in the beginning stages of Clubhouse.
Yeah, it was, I think, Keith, you were on it, and then you sent me the invite. I think it was still an invite thing then, but it wasn't long after that went away.
That went away, yeah. Right around the time they let the Android users in, they got rid of the
emails. I remember that part. Yeah, because they didn't have access.
I was the Android user.
And then...
it was the craziest thing, because I remember getting on there, and that's when I had got that Ortor, like 2.5-watt laser. And at the time, there was really not a lot on lasers, and the only real person that I could find on YouTube was Ben Myers. And he had a bunch from Myers Woodshop or whatever it is. And he had a bunch of videos on how to use lasers. I remember watching them. And then one night on Clubhouse, he just popped on, right? And everyone's like, oh, check it out. It's Ben Myers. They're like, dude, I just watched your video. This is crazy. And now I'm talking to you on some random thing called Clubhouse.
Yeah. Yeah. It's cool. It's still a good resource. Like if you go in there with a problem, you can pop in and be like, yo, I'm struggling with this. And somebody can get an answer. So,
yeah, it's a weird thing about like the internet age that we're in now, because I'm sitting there at work and I'm talking to guys, and I thought it was kind of weird that I'm like, oh, I got a buddy in Jersey and I got a buddy in Texas and I got a buddy in the Carolinas or whatever. Like, yeah, I always say I got a buddy, but everybody else is doing the same thing. Like, a lot of the guys at work are talking about, oh yeah, I talked to this guy. He's in, you know, California, or he's in Oregon or whatever.
Right.
Like, it's kind of interesting to see that dynamic change. It used to be like, you know them from the internet. Like, are they weird? Like,
is it safe to know the person on the internet? Do they drive a white van?
Do they want your kidneys?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now they want my laser parameters.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now we run to New York State once or twice a year to see them all.
No, that's really cool. I remember my wife would see me mailing. This is when it was like the thing to do. She'd see me mailing a bunch of, stickers out, right? Because that was when everyone did sticker swaps, and she was like, you're gonna put our address on there? I guess what's the problem? These are strangers. I'm like, ah, it's fine, they do woodworking. What's the worst that can happen?
Yeah, they're gonna send me a cutting board.
Yeah, they're makers, it's fine. Yeah. Don't worry.
Yeah,
well, I mean, if someone finds my house, I kind of owe them a showdown, so that's you know what I mean? Two men enter, one man leaves. We might as well give her.
Yeah, I'm dead smack in the suburbs at the end of a cul-de-sac.
Yeah, that said, don't come here.
Yeah, the street I live on, even though it's the suburbs, you know, I have like three active duty Marines on my street. I have a police officer on my street. There's nobody on my street that you want to walk in their house at night unannounced, if you know what I mean. So
yeah,
I feel pretty safe on my street.
Well, if you show up here, there's no one around to hear you screaming.
Oh, there you go.
So, and those that are around won't care.
There you go.
That's good. I'm kind of in the same boat. I don't have any active service military here, but I have a couple cops within very close distance.
Yeah.
But it's weird. I don't think there's any nefarious stuff going on in our little community.
No. You know, Temecula, people... California isn't really known for a bunch of crime. We're known for wineries and good wine. That's about it.
Temecula, California.
And sheepadoodles.
Are you going to make the trip east this October or what?
No. So,
fast.
All those events, they sound great.
Not all of them.
They also sound exhausting to me. When I feel like I have to be on all the time, I feel like it could be exhausting. And even when we just did like a maker meetup at Surf Prep, when like Ben and Luke came down and we did a maker meetup there, and that was probably for, you know, 4 hours. I was exhausted after those 4 hours of just being on. You know what
yeah,
I mean?
I see that, and I guess we're getting to be old hands at it now, that I don't feel that I have to be on the whole time I'm there, but
right.
We're on to our, what, fourth one this year?
You guys are
on during the swap times, but other than that, I'm just there. you know?
Yeah.
I think a lot of the newbies kind of expect that, but then they figure it out pretty quick that everybody's just like, meh, nice to meet you. What's your handle? Yeah. What do you make?
That would be okay. I could probably deal with that.
Yeah. You want a sticker? Yeah.
Are sticker swaps still a thing? Are people still mailing them back and forth to each other?
I get the odd person every now and again looking for a sticker, but mine are
I have all yours, Tony.
Mine are jersey. I have like a handful of stickers right now. I should order more, but
I can mail them out for you if you need to do a sticker swap.
No, I'm thinking about revamping my logo a little bit, so they may not be current, but we'll see.
Vintage.
Yes.
Yeah, I had the first person in probably a year ask me for a sticker swap, not more than 3 days ago. I was like, "What? Okay."
I don't remember mailing my sticker out for a swap with anyone other than, and I'm gonna let both of you guys guess, and you should be able to guess between the two of you, with one person who Dave is friends with, Ben Condorosa.
Oh, I was gonna say it gotta be Ben, yeah.
Yeah. I think he's the only one that I sent a sticker to who is like, "Oh yeah, I'll take one of your stickers." Like, I've mailed things out and I put my sticker in it in the package, but I don't think I've ever done a sticker swap with somebody.
Yeah, during that whole 2020, everybody figuring each other out, you know, there was hundreds of sticker swaps happening at that time. And then I would really just lose track if I sent it or not, and then I just felt like a jerk.
Yeah, yeah. I think you guys are reminding me that I have a outstanding swap to do. That I should probably try and find that address and send it out. But I found even for camp 2019 was the same. I was, when I was there, everybody's like, "Oh, do you have a, you know, what's your handle?" And then what's like, and then a lot of people were trying to get stickers at that time too. And I'm like, I'm not a huge account to begin with anyways, but at that time I had like, you know, friends and family followed me, and I just, you know, I followed Jimmy and some other bigger names, and that's what got me into camp. And then, yeah, I was not thinking that anyone would ever want, you know, a sticker from me. So it's quite different now.
I mean, I'm a sticker fan. I just don't want to go through the trouble of sending one out.
Oh yeah. I have about 1,000 stickers from people, but
yeah,
it's from when I've met them in person, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'd much rather do the swap in person. And I think that's really the only way I do it now.
There you go. Yeah. I think in June we're doing another maker meetup at Surf Prep. So maybe I'll do some swaps then.
That'll be cool. Sounds like a good West Coast hangout.
Yeah. Not bad.
I'm heading up towards the Blackthorn tomorrow morning. Going to go do a leather class up there.
Far are you from there?
About 3.5 hours.
Okay, so it's a drive.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Yep. It's not close, but it's not far, like, compared to you guys. Like, I'm within driving distance. I have gone there for, like, a day, like, when Tony's up at the Group 4, juggle up and then drive home in the same day. But that's a day, you know. It's a lot of coffee.
Yeah, that's a lot of driving.
Yeah. Well, I mean, for work, I drive all the time anyway, so the time in the car isn't the problem. It's the drive and then hanging out with people all day and then getting back in the car and driving home was the rough part.
It just makes a long day.
Yeah.
It's still not one way for me, though.
Right, but you're not doing 15 hours. You're doing 10, right? So for me, I drive up and then I hang out 10 to 12 hours and then I drive home.
Yeah. So the longest was on the motorcycle. It was a marathon by the time I was done. I think it was 12 or 13 hours with fuel stops and everything.
Are you going to do it again?
To camp? No. For Abana, I think that's what's the plan, to go to Jonestown on the bike. Do it in 2 days. 2 days back, or 2 days down, 2 days back, plus Abana.
Huh?
So it's probably going to be 7 days, give or take.
So you're not bringing a hammer or nothing there?
I don't know. I think I'm going to bring maybe a couple tools because we're going to, I'm still
you're
hoping
that competition.
Yeah. I'm still hoping to get that competition organized. So,
did you fill up the team yet?
No, that's one thing I wanted to talk about. We're still looking for one more. Well, I have two maybes or we'll seize. And then I need a fourth, and then we can start from
so,
there, I guess.
To backtrack,
yes.
I'm going to pull the Dre card. The Abana blacksmithing event this year in Johnstown, PA.
Yep.
Johnstown. If you're going and want to be in one of those four-man team competitions, we are sponsoring a team. If we get 2 4-man teams going, we will sponsor 2 teams to go. So get in touch with Tony, and he'll get you those details.
Yeah, I'm kind of excited. Started seeing a few more things come up in the last week or so. The tickets and ticket prices have come out.
It's still early yet, right? That's in what, June?
Yeah, it's in June, but I think they want to know fairly soon about the comp, because they need to get materials and stuff. Not that I think it'd be difficult for them to get the materials together, but I think they just want to be prepped for it.
How big of an area they have to cordon off? How many forges? How many anvils?
Yeah, it looks like it's going to be pretty. You're going to have a 4-hour window, I think, for it. So you're going to have like a prep day on one day, and then a 4-hour forging window. So be interesting.
That sounds like a lot of fun.
Yeah, I'm hoping that it will be. Yeah, just kind of excited to test myself a little bit. It's always fun.
Good, 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 good. So what are you working on, Dave? Anything, any projects you got ongoing in the shop?
I'm working on getting motivated to come back out here, to be honest with you. After the whole Christmas, it happens to me every year where after the Christmas rush and the insanity of either orders or last minute gifts or just the list of things my wife suddenly needs me to make at the last second for teachers or family or neighbors, usually pretty burnt out. And so it usually will take me a good 3 weeks or so to find that motivation to get back out here. But I need to, because I have, I think I have an order for 9 cutting boards for a local real estate agent. I have a few other charcuterie boards I need to do. And then my hope here is in the next 2 weeks to start getting into like carving. It's something that I'm interested to get into that I've never done. And I'm going to start off with some stuff like spoons or something. And that's why I've been talking to you so much about the right rotary to get. I've been looking into different types of dust collection for that, because anyone that follows me knows I have just ADD when it comes to
cleanliness,
not so much making a mess, but just cleaning up a mess. I just have to do it. It's the way my brain's wired. And so I'm just trying to look for solutions with that where I can make what I want to make without worrying about what I'm doing as I'm doing it. So, I want to get a good rotary. I want to get good burrs, obviously saber tooth when it comes down to me getting some, and then some dust collection and then a good vise. So appreciate your help with that
advice.
And so that's really, other than commission stuff, that's the fun stuff that I want to start doing, where I can kind of zone out and maybe learn how to do that.
Have you picked out your pan of ice yet?
I have it. It's here. It showed up. I haven't opened it yet because I kind of want to do it all together with the rotary and then the different burrs and then whatever dust collection ends up working out.
So for me, what I use is I just use my regular dust collector.
Yeah.
And I have a funnel that goes on it. And I've shown you a few of my videos where I use the pan of ice and I hold my burr the one way, so it's always spewing in the same direction.
I like how it makes a good video.
Yeah, and I spew it in that direction, try to, for everything. That's if I'm carving inside. I prefer to carve outside because then I can move around the piece how I want, as opposed to moving the piece around how I need it. But if I'm carving inside, that's what I'll do. I just put the dust port like right next to it, and there's minimal dust outside of that. Like it's pretty good the way the way I carve and the way the saber tooth kind of throws the dust in one direction, and it's more of a dust as opposed to chips like when you use some of the other guys, that it collects, I would say, 90% of it the way I do it.
Okay.
And even when I'm carving stone, which if I forget to turn on the dust collector, which I have done, it's just a white cloud everywhere in my shop. As long as you're trying to shoot it into the dust collector, it grabs most of it.
Yeah, my plan is one of those bench top ones. I'll see if that works. I have that mullet third arm shield deal, so I'm going to try that.
But the mullet works off of shop vac, yeah?
Yeah, that one goes to my surf prep dust extractor. So I would just see if that works. If not, I can always just bring over the 4-inch hose. We're dead in the middle of winter right now here in California, so it's barely hitting like 65, so I probably won't be going outside much, but because I got to bundle up, and that's not as comfortable as I want to be, so I do a lot of the stuff indoors right now.
If I'm carving like a coffee scoop, something small like that, I will take just a shop vac hose, like the
I saw
like
that
two
I like
and a
how
half
you did
inch,
that yeah
and I'll just hold it right underneath and it sucks it down. Like, you'd be amazed at how well, just as long as you can keep it as close as possible to what you're working on.
Right.
It doesn't create as much dust as you see some people who like they put it at the end of their bench, like, oh, this will catch it. It doesn't. You got to be close, like real close.
Got it. My hope is that I can just, and the way I pitched it to these different brands is that I can just show different options for people that want to get into something like this, where they don't necessarily have to ruin everything in their whole shop with dust and still maintain, you know, the ability to do the carving.
Yeah. I've bought the downdraft setup.
Oh yeah.
Like to build my own downdraft table, and I haven't done it yet. I should do that in the next couple of weeks. I've had the stuff for a year. But I bought it like towards the end of the winter last year, and then I just started carving outside again. So I forgot about it. So
right.
I should go back out and do it again. But yeah, this sounds like a pretty cool venture for you, something new. It sounds like a make what you fear item.
It kind of is. I didn't know if a spoon carving would be considered make what you fear. I didn't want everyone to make fun of me.
They're going to make fun of you regardless.
But
if it's a new process and challenging to you, go for it. New material, new process.
Yeah, it is actually something. When I did pitch to a few different brands here, I did bring that up as part of the content that can be created for this would be also the make what you feared as well. So just trying to dial those in before I commit to what I'm doing, and then you hold me accountable. And then whenever I didn't do what I said I was going to do.
Well, you still have like 2 months left. You
got plenty of time.
Yeah. I mean, I dove right in when I started carving, I dove right into stone, and I was okay at it at best.
Yeah,
I'm still only okay. I struggle with spoons. I'm going to tell you right now, I make a lot of spoons and I struggle with them. I wind up burning more than I've actually produced. Yeah. Something about the dish part. I can't get it the way I want it to get it.
Got it.
So,
well, I'm going to give it a shot. So hopefully I get that rotary here in the next week or so, and I can lock in some dust collection and I can get going.
Awesome. Just try a shop vac at first. You'll be amazed at how much it gets.
Yeah. I have stuff I can use. I'm just trying to roll it out all at once if I can.
Yeah, I mean, you're a different breed when you're trying to put a whole package together. Like, if you're starting, you could do everything at once as opposed to,
right.
Oh, I have this dust collector, this $10,000 dust, you know, something like that.
Yeah.
It doesn't really work out so well for you.
Yeah. I was surprised how much those benchtop dust collectors cost. I had a little sticker shock.
Are they pricey? I've never looked at it.
Between, you know, the one I was looking at was $500 for that just sits on your bench. So it seemed like a lot. I don't know. It is what it is.
If it cleans up the dust, it's worth every penny.
Right.
If it's only getting 50%, then there's an issue. But if it's getting 90% of it, then it's worth the money.
Yeah. That's what I hope. I don't know. Just my whole issue with keeping things clean, I get anxiety thinking about it.
I will say, as you're going, you're going to be carving, you're going to forget about dust for a second, and you'll be shooting it towards your dust collector, and then you're going to be like, oh, let me change direction and do it this way, and then it blows that way, and then you get angry at yourself because now you have a mess to clean up.
That happens to me a lot on the router
table.
It
will happen, yeah.
Yeah, my router, I mean, I have a good dust collection on it, and my router still just makes a mess, and at that point, I don't care because I'm more worried about cutting my finger off than anything, so...
Yeah.
Where the dust goes, it just goes.
I have no dust collection on my router table.
Oh, okay.
Well, I shouldn't say that. Underneath, right? The bottom part. I don't have the dust box that goes under it.
Yeah.
I do have the dust collection on the fence, which is nice. But that only works on certain things, right? If you're running dados or something, it's useless. It only works if you're doing an edge. So I just let the chips go, and then I vacuum it up when I'm done.
I usually just blow them to my neighbor's yard.
Oh, the leaf blower is the best dust collector out there.
That's my most used tool in my shop.
Yeah. I actually have two I use. I got the mini one, like the mini Milwaukee one, and then I have the big one.
Yeah, same.
I got the mini one from AJ, who is the guy who crafted in NJ.
Yeah.
I sent you. He's the guy who carves in a tent. He sets a tent up in a shop.
Oh, I've seen him do that. I'm a big fan of his. I really like watching his videos. Those flags that he does are just beautiful.
They are. I have one right here.
He's pretty cool. That's another guy. I mean, he works full time. I see him, you know, showing his videos of what he does, and he still just kicks out a ton of stuff out of his shop. He's dedicated.
Mm. Yeah, he is.
He's crushing it. He's doing Make What You Fear too.
What is he making?
A crib.
Oh.
Yep.
There you go. I am very thankful that I don't have to make a crib. My kids are old enough where I never have to think about that again. That sounds horrible.
Yeah, that's an ambitious project, but good for him.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm starting to realize how ambitious my project is.
Yeah.
Was it a table?
Yeah, I have a yellow birch cookie that's quite large. It's like 44 by 33, but not uniform in those measurements. And yeah, it's full of bark, and then there's inclusions of bark inside of it, and it's going to be well worth the effort. It's just a lot more work than I expected.
Woodworking's tough, Tony.
Yeah. Well, it's one of those things you're like, oh yeah, it's been sitting there for a while. And Nick did correct me. It was kiln dried. So, just hoping, wishing that the bark just peels right off, and not a stitch of bark was like flaked off at all. Everything's stuck. It's like multiple layers, and yeah, I'll take mill scale on steel any day over this.
That reminds me. So we got hired to do the electrical on a remodel of a casino out here, and I went and walked it, and in the corner they were doing the demo of the existing casino, and in the corner there was this 5-foot by 3-foot live edge walnut slab that was just pushed up against a wall and looked like it was going to be thrown out. It was part of whatever the decor was of the other build out.
Yeah.
Of course, as a woodworker, that's the first thing I saw. I'm like, that doesn't belong here. I need to know what this is. And I walked straight over there and I turned it around, and it's about 2 inches thick. And when I flipped it around, they had somebody for the other build out had like CNC'd like a really cool tree into it, and now they're just going to throw it away. So I'm hoping tomorrow when I go walk that job, they let me load it up in my truck, and then I'm just going to cut it up because it's engraved pretty deep. So I'm going to cut it up and just maybe plane it down and make something else out of it. But it was pretty good score, and it was all live edge, and it's beautiful. It has a hanger on it, so it looked like one of those hangman hangers. So it looked like it was like a wall piece at one point.
Yeah.
But now it'll be mine.
Just hanging on your wall.
I don't really have space for that, nor I don't think my wife is going to want a tree inside her house. So I will cut that bad boy up and make charcuterie boards out of it in a heartbeat.
There you go.
Yeah, I've got some walnut stuff here at the house too. And doing this table is added to my honey-do list. I think now we're going to... I have a mantle that we did years ago now, I guess. I say years. It's probably been 3 or 4. And
I said that would be years.
Yeah. Well, you know what I mean. When I say years, I would say be like a 8 to 10.
Doesn't matter. You have a walnut mantle.
I know. Anyways, yeah, we're gonna take that down and re-flatten it because I just hit it with a sander. I didn't really actually flatten it, so it's got a bit of a crown to it.
Right.
So that's something I got to fix.
How would you flatten that? Are you set up where you can, do you have like something set up to do that?
I'm building like a router sled kind of thing one of those like two rails.
Yeah. I've seen a few different options of them.
Yeah. And I just picked up this last set of days off. I ended up picking up a router because we had talked about it on the podcast here of like, I was looking at like brand new Ryobi ones at like what, horse and a half. I ended up, Nick from NB Woodfinder, he just sent me out of the blue. He's like, here's a router, $200 used. I'm like, perfect. And it's like a three horse Triton.
Oh, those are big boys.
Yeah. I had it. I showed up buddy's spot and he had, he was a cabinet maker. And what he told me was he was going to use it because it was a big horsepower one. He was like, I was going to use it to make raised panels, and I don't know how that process would work, and then he's like, but I never really got into making my own raised panels, so I'm getting rid of it. It's like, and it's basically half price what it was brand new. I tried to dicker with him, but he was just like, nope. It's one of those things where it sat in a shop. And if he didn't get rid of it, he didn't care. He wanted the price. But it's one of those things. People put like $200 or best offer. And it's like, then you give him an offer. And it's like, nope.
See, I'm the
best offer.
I am the absolute worst at that. I hate the whole $150, $200. I will just give it away. I don't care. It's worth more just getting it out of my shop than haggling with the price. And my wife would be like, why didn't you sell that? I just didn't want to deal with it. I'll just pay it forward and give it to someone else.
Yeah. I'm almost worse than that. I will almost throw something out versus trying to sell it. Cause
that's the other part of it. Yeah.
I've had I haven't done it cause I'm just not used to doing that stuff. But when we did our kitchen remodel, I was like, well, we had a wall oven and a cooktop, and we were changing to like a standard type oven or stove. And when I went to put that stuff on like Marketplace or whatever it was, I put it on, the stuff sold like within like hours. I had people driving, like I think the people who got the oven drove like an hour and a half to get here and like instantly drove an hour and a half to get it. And I was like, this is so weird. Like, I was like, there should be no use for this. But then I get talking to a few guys at work and they're like, oh no, those things are expensive. And if you can't find, if it works for them, it's worth the money because they're way more expensive than you think.
Right. Yeah. Nope, I get it.
Selling stuff can either be real easy or it's a pain in the butt.
Oh yeah, I had the same experience. I sold a push mower and a ride-on mower. And I had people like begging. Like, they're like, I'll give you $50 if you hang on to it and I'll be there tomorrow. And then I was like, well, I've never been that way. Just the way my father taught me, he's like, just is basically like the old cliche of cash on the barrel head. You don't hold on to stuff for people. It's whoever shows up with money in hand first.
Right.
Like, and I take it the same way. I'll never do that. You know, here, I'll give you $100 to hold it. And then I don't think it just doesn't make sense to me. If somebody shows up before me with the money, it's theirs. And I treat it the same way if I'm selling something.
Well, yeah, but if you, and it's happened to me and it happened to a couple other people, if I message you on Facebook and say, yeah, I'll buy it, what's your address? And then I drive to your address and you agree and send me the address and I get there and it's gone, you're an asshole.
I wholeheartedly agree with that. But yeah, I would say
you could have told me somebody was planning on coming earlier.
Yeah. And I definitely wouldn't do that. But like, if you're telling me you want to give me a certain amount of money and show up like 2 or 3 days later, and then somebody else shows up, it's going to go. Like, you're not going to drive to my house and then find out it's sold.
Yeah. But you know who is not going to be a jerk like that? It's our patrons. We say we give them a thanks, Tony.
All right. I'll start here with Corey of Odyssey CNC, Christy of Twisted Twine, Annette of 513 Woodworks, Full Steam Design by Chris Powell, Lillian Archer Photography, David Beckwith Makes, NB Woodfinery, and our top tier we have Espoke Studios, Danelle Smith Christian, Brian Drennan, Lawrence of Maritime, NiceSupply.com, edjohns@buttjoints.com, Adam of Uncle Sam Metalworks, Brian Hosford of Work For It Podcast, Matt of Wooden Mustache, Brad of Brad's Customs, David and Joanna at Wido Works, Chad of Chad's Custom Creations, Ryan of Gnomehammer Forge, David of DW Wood Builds, Matt of First Duke Construction, Daniel and Drizzy, and Andrew of Hatchmated. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you all. And if you are a patron of ours, you get thrown into the giveaway for the hammer each month from Gnome Hammer. So become a patron. There's a couple other podcasts he does it for, but become a patron of ours before you patronize anyone else, please. What do you think, Dave? You got anything else before we head on over to the after show?
Do you guys see that new glue that came out from a maker?
Yeah. What's the deal with that? I should have asked you about that earlier.
It's Nick. I saw his post and yeah, I mean, it's like
Nick who?
Nick's from Custom. I don't know his last name. Nick's Custom Woodworking.
Okay.
Nick's Custom. One of those. But the name of the glue is it Boss Dog Glue?
I don't know.
Wow. Anyways, I'm actually excited to try it out. I bought some. I saw it came out. I'm always one, and probably most of us are, want to support somebody in this community. The fact that you're selling glue against some of the big boys, right? Because there's, you know, Tight Bond is kind of what everyone uses. I think Gorilla Glue makes the woodworking glue. I've never used it. So the fact that there's a third option in there, you know, I'm excited to try it out. So I got my shipping notification. I think it shows up on Monday, and I'm definitely going to try it out. I think it's pretty cool.
Yeah, keep me posted. I'm interested.
Yeah.
I have a lot of type on at the moment, but when I run out, I may, looks cool, right? What's the account name?
It's Boss Dog Wood Glue.
Boss Dog Wood Glue.
I don't see the guy who's presenting it. I don't see a name for him.
Yeah, that's Nick. I don't know his last name.
Yeah, he's not tagged in it that I can see.
Anytime someone ventures to go do their own thing, I think that's one of the... There's a lot of great things about this community, but I think that one of the great things is everybody supports each other. And the fact that, you know, I think he did pretty good the first week of everything, you know, what he sold. And I think that he had a lot of people share his stuff without him even asking. So I hope he does well.
It's got to be a hard market to get into when everyone knows. Like, there's a battle between people as to which type on they choose.
Right.
Right. So for a whole new company to come in, it means something, you know?
Yeah. I mean, you never know. If you look at wood finishes, right? I mean, for years, everyone used the same stuff. And then Walrus Oil kind of jumped on the market and they started selling stuff. And then Bumble Shoots. And then, you know, Atomic Finishes. There's a market out there for it. You just have to go get it.
Yeah. So I just found them. It's Nick's Custom Woodworks.
Yeah.
Nick Starrett is his name.
I don't know.
Yeah, I bought the gallon and I bought a 16 ounce just because that's what I like to use when I'm doing glue up. So, and I'm about out of Type Bond 3, so the timing worked out pretty good.
Yeah, is it waterproof, this stuff?
Says it is. Says it, and it's food safe, so it should be good. It's equivalent to a Type Bond 3.
Perfect. That's what I use for pretty much everything.
Yeah, I'm interested to see how it dries, you know?
Oh, is it light?
What
is it
I get
dark?
Left with.
How What's it that? Cleans up?
Yeah.
Is it light? Is it dark? How does it clean up?
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot of factors that go into it, but I'm interested. It'd be cool to support a small guy like that.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's what people did with Eric from Bumble Shoots for a long time. And
yeah. I mean, when you think about it, and as good as Type Bond is to the community and all of us, right? And don't yell at me, Ed Jones. Type Bond is great, right? I love Type Bond. Everyone loves Type Bond. The entire maker community could switch over to Boss Glue and Type Bond would not feel that change, right? So you're not doing a disservice to Type Bond that they're selling to bigwigs and lots of stuff. The few people in our maker community aren't really going to make a dent in their payday, but we could make a huge dent in Nick's payday if we all bought.
Exactly.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
Right.
So
it's those little changes that you could make to just help a guy out, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. That's why when I saw, I forget who shared it, but when I saw it, I'm like, that's something I feel like, one, I use glue, and I need some. So what does it hurt to support somebody, right?
I'm going to get the link from you after this. I'm going to order some probably tonight.
Okay.
But yeah, anything else? You want to wrap it up and head on over to the after show?
Just really appreciate you guys having me on here. Pretty cool.
We appreciate you coming on. I thought there'd be more ball busting than we had, but I mean, that's all right. We'll save that for the after show.
That's the after show.
A couple things. If you aren't already, you should probably start on your Make What You Fear project. We know Dave's doing power carving now, so we got him in on the Sabretooth family, which happens to be one of our sponsors for Make What You Fear. We have Sabretooth is in, Maritime Knife Supply is in, Gnome Hammer is in, T9 or Bow Shield T9, I should say, Total Boat, Housemade.us, and the Maker Camp. You can get your very own ticket to the Maker Camp. So please participate. Again, it has to be something challenging to you. So a new process, a new material, or a project you have failed at. 5 posts. Make sure you tag us, not just in the caption, but actually tag us in the post so we can look at it 3 months from now. That's pretty much all the rules. Challenge yourself. Get out there. Tell us the story of why it is challenging for you, and you can get in on that. Any questions on that? Is that pretty clear for everyone? Did I cover it all, Tony?
Yep. Way quicker than I would.
Yeah. I mean, I don't want to berate people with it every week, but it is an ongoing thing. If you see other people tagging it, go in there, comment on it. Let's get the community building going around it. Share it with your friends, all that stuff, you know? Let's get people challenging themselves to try new stuff, especially because most of us, even though I don't do the Christmas rush thing, but after the holidays, I pretty much don't want to be in the shop either. So if this can push people to get back out in the shop, try something new, possibly get a whole new revenue stream going for their little maker side hustle or their full-time side hustle, whatever it is, let's get after it. Anything else, Dave?
I'm good.
You can find Dave at D Miller Designs. There's an underscore in there, right? Or dot?
No, D Miller dot designs.
D Miller dot designs on Instagram. You on TikTok?
Yeah, I just started TikTok. I only have like 1,000 followers on there, but I always forget to post on it.
Don't you only have 1,000 on Instagram too? Something like
Yeah, I'm a little over 1,000 on Instagram. Yeah, I'm looking to grow.
Okay, looking to grow. So go give him a follow over there if you're not already. He's a fantastic guy, as you've heard here. He's become a fast friend of ours. If you want to find Tony, he's at Woodland Iron. I'm at Blackthorn Concepts. Both of us can be found at Working Hands Podcast on Instagram, Working Hands 3 on TikTok, or workinghandspodcast@gmail.com. Please rate and review the show. Share it with all your friends. Tell everyone. It's the only way we can grow, and we can help grow our community. We'll see you guys next week.
Later.